I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the Phil Taylor to my Luke Littler. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
What a story that is, by the way. Justin, how the devil are you, good sir?
I'm absolutely fantastic. It's getting into January, so it's a very important time of the year. Very important time of year. Obviously, Christmas has been and gone, New Year's been and gone, and transfers are back, baby, and speculation is rife, and it just gets you excited, gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, I enjoy a good transfer window because obviously we've got the FA Cup this weekend, so not as much championship action or any championship action for us to talk about. So at least we can still keep our eyes cast on X or Twitter, as it was formerly known, and just see all the different links that are happening. I mean, some of them, I'm quite enjoying the X content now, where it's made up of quite a lot of accounts who are just completely making up stories. You know, it's interesting to see what people's brains come up with.
It always fascinates me that people hang on to Twitter rumours more than anything. I mean, Nuno Espirito Santo to Stoke was a funny one just a couple of weeks ago.
And there's one now, Justin, of Steve Cooper to Birmingham. It's just some apparent ITK accounts in the no accounts will make something up, and it's incredible how many people still believe these random accounts.
But they get people into a frenzy and then it just ramps up speculation. I mean, I've seen a couple of clubs in the past have to make statements or come out and say in the media that this isn't happening, whether it be a takeover, a managerial appointment, or a player signing. It's got to that point where where random people on Twitter have that much power just by making stuff up. It is quite incredible, but I guess that's social media. I mean, that's how Donald Trump came into power, isn't it? Which by making random shit up.
Don't open that can of worms, Jesus. but you're right. You are right. Like, people who are outside of the stratosphere on the Stoke side of things will not believe it, but a massive proportion of the Stoke fan base genuinely believed Nuno Espirito Santo was going to Stoke, even though no one official reported any links to that effect. So it's impressive how far these ITK accounts can, you know, get with just making something up and then how many people believe it. It's honestly astonishing. But if you want, you know, reliable information, then of course the Second Tier Podcast is the place to go. When I say reliable, we're not the news people. We're taking what other people say and crediting them with that stuff. So yeah, we'll leave that there. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yeah, we're gonna have a little look ahead to the January transfer window. Of course, the door has just opened, or the window has just opened. What kind of window are we picturing here? Just like someone has taken one of those shutter windows and just pushed it up?
The thing is, my vision now is players walking, is trying to get through a window to their club, when it's just not possible. So if it's going to be a window, it's got to be a patio door. But who walks through a patio door to a training ground?
See, I always picture just a hole in the wall kind of window when people are just walking up saying, oh, I want to bid this much for Jed Wallace or something like that. And that's how it works. But obviously that's not the case, but that's how I've always pictured it. Anyway, we're here to talk about the January transfer window and what clubs need in a this coming month. Of course, still very much up for grabs, many different positions in the division. So we'll go through that and have a little chit-chat about those different teams. And I thought we'd start off with a bit of a change of pace, Justin, and start off by talking about the playoff race. Because at the time of recording, we've got just 7 points separating 5th place West Brom and 14th place Preston North End. So still all to play for there in that respect. Justin, out of the teams in the playoff race, whose business are you most intrigued to see this coming month?
I'll ask, how far down in the playoff race can I go for this question?
Well, who do you think is actually realistically going to get in the playoffs, I suppose, is okay, the next part of that question.
Well, I mean, you could probably go down to Blackburn in terms of who can realistically get into the playoffs. I know they're 8 points off the top six, but I mean, it's not that much of a gap. But if we're talking about teams that are in and around it right now, I think West Brom are a team that intrigued me a hell of a lot because they've got so many variables working with and against them. Obviously, Carlos Corberan's a fantastic manager to work for, and he's got a brilliant side of play that gets results, clean sheets. But they do need, for me, a couple of additions, but they've got the takeover hanging over them, or the potential impending takeover hanging over them, or lack of takeover hanging over them. They don't have a lot of money to spend or room to manoeuvre. They might be outgoings, and they certainly need incomings to really boost their chances of getting into the playoffs. So they're a team that intrigued me, and obviously Sunderland as well, because Sunderland have got such a good squad at their disposal. It's packed full of attacking talent that, for me, maybe they need a little bit more experience, or maybe they need certainly need a number nine. So they're two teams that intrigue me. But if I was going to throw in a bit of a wild card, I think Blackburn do have the potential to get into the playoffs. I think they score a lot of goals. If they can tighten up, I think they can really push in. But they need additions. They need additions in their squad. But again, they're not going to be spending freely. They've gone down a different route with Greg Broughton, the technical director, and they're recruiting a little bit more smartly. But at the same time, that might not be working for them. So they might need to throw a little bit of money at the wall this January to see what they can get.
Yeah, as I've said recently, if Blackburn could defend, they'd be quite a good side. And that's still very much true. So maybe a couple of defenders will certainly help on that account. I think West Brom are an interesting case, aren't they? Because they could really do with some attackers, couldn't they? Particularly with Grady Diangana going to the African Cup of Nations and Jeremy Sarmiento being recalled from his loan by Brighton. The issue is, they are in the midst of that takeover, aren't they? So will they get the additions in January that they need? And we've put the question out on Twitter, what do fans think their clubs need in January? Matthew, who's a West Brom fan, says, we need a new owner. And that's the big thing, isn't it? Like, if this takeover doesn't get done before the end of the month, how many additions will they get? Will they be the additions that they need?
That's quite an interesting proposition. So I guess I'll put this question to you. Would, as a West Brom fan, if you were hypothetically a West Brom fan, Ryan, would you be happy with a takeover and no incomings at all? Because that means the long-term future of your club is secured, but your chances of getting the playoffs does diminish a little bit because you're not being able to strengthen. Or would you rather strengthen in January and wait for a takeover to come in at the end of the season?
I'd be surprised if it lasted until the end of the season, this takeover, you know, ongoing one.
I'll slightly rephrase that, between January and the end of the season then. So it doesn't happen in January, so therefore it doesn't impact January.
Well, I don't think it really matters when the takeover actually gets done, because as long as a takeover does get done, that's all that West Brom fans will care about. With regards to January, they need players in if they are going to stand any chance of getting in the top six this season. That's what fans have paid the money for. They want to see West Brom actually succeed this season. I don't think any West Brom fan out there would be happy with just another, you know, top half, mid-table finish with whatever happens with the takeover. They, based on how they're doing right now, they want to see them get into the top six. And look, West Brom have had a fantastic start to the season, much better than I think anyone expected. But they need at least a couple of attackers in January. I would say a striker, perhaps. Of course, they've still got Daryl Dike to come back. But will he ever actually become the player that West Brom fans are hoping for? I don't know. But without a doubt, they need at least a winger or two to add to the depth.
Yeah.
Because it's looking quite thin on the ground up front at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the other variable you've got to throw into the mix with West Brom is they've got an ageing squad. They need some more athleticism adding into it. They've got the oldest average age in the league, actually, in terms of their formations or starting 11s that they've put out. So adding a few more younger legs could make the world of difference. And those younger legs being in the attack really could make the difference, because you've got Matty Phillips, who's been in good form under Carlos Corberan, but he's picked up a couple of injuries. Obviously, he's been out for a bit. Jed Wallace has picked up a knock, and he's at the wrong end of his career. John Swift the same. So, adding in some younger players who can add a bit of flair into that attack, like Sarmiento, like it was hoped that Sarmiento would do, I think would really go a long way to giving West Brom a little bit more spark going into the second half of the season.
Well, a big question that needs to be answered this transfer window is, will Sunderland finally get a striker? Of course, no Ross Stewart now. Neither Nazari Roussin or Mason Burstow have worked out after joining in the summer. So they are absolutely desperate for a front man, aren't they? In fact, I don't think there's a club in the Championship right now who needs a striker as much as Sunderland. Maybe Ipswich, actually, but Sunderland are pretty desperate as well.
Yeah, I mean, at least Ipswich have a couple of strikers at their disposal. I mean, as you said, Sunderland do have Roussin and Burstow, but they're not quite hitting the hymns that they need to hit, are they? They're not scoring enough goals. I know Roussin scored against Preston, and it was a good goal because he got in a 6-yard box ahead of his marker, but needs to do it more consistently. And for me, Sunderland are absolutely desperate. You're absolutely right. I mean, last season they should have brought in a striker. I know Joe Gauhart was meant to be playing in and around Ross Stewart as opposed to the actual number 9 when he arrived on loan last season from Leeds, but it wasn't the case, and we've seen in the past how much a striker can make a difference for clubs. Bournemouth adding Kiefer Moore to their ranks a couple of seasons ago got them over the line into the automatic. Nottingham Forest adding Sam Surridge got them into the playoffs and flirting with the top two. He scored 7 in 17, so it really does make a difference. And if they can go out and find a striker to go out and get 7 or 8 goals between now and the end of the season, like Ellis Sims did in the first half of last season at Sunderland, they'll easily get into the top six because they've got a really good front line. They create a lot of chances and they're not defensively a bad side either. So yeah, they're one of those teams that I think just one player will do Sunderland, and I'd be very confident in saying they'll get into that get into the playoffs.
I'm not sure I'd be that confident. I'm still far from convinced about the appointment of Mick Beale.
Mick Beale does add a variable in there.
Yeah, he does. It's quite astonishing, really, how strong this Sunderland squad is, but the contrast in how weak they are up front is just startling. So a striker has got to be a priority. A couple of positions they could also strengthen. I think defence, they're looking a bit thin on the ground in terms of numbers, so that won't be a bad addition, a couple of additions there either, but striker, they've got to bring someone in. They just simply have to. A club I'm watching from afar with intrigue this January, Justin, is Hull City. A very ambitious club, we know. They had a fantastic summer window and are seemingly looking to play another blinder this month. Burnley's Manuel Benson is someone who's been linked, but it's undoubtedly an exciting month ahead for Hull City, isn't it?
It is. I think that it's more exciting because Liam Rossini knows where his weaknesses are and he tries to correct them quite quickly. And then you look at the summer as well, that they went out and signed Aaron Connolly and everyone sort of raised their eyebrows and said, oh, I'm not going to get anything getting from him. But he's been scoring goals. Liam Delap's been scoring goals on loan. So he's taken players who haven't necessarily been fantastic in previous spells, and he's turning them into good Championship players. And Manuel Benson really does get the saliva flowing, because adding that bit of quality and flair into that whole team of Liam Rossini, it's exciting. I mean, he got 11 and 33 in the league last season and scored countless goals where he's cut inside and scored from distance. So it's going to turn those tight games around for Hull at the moment. They do find themselves on the other end of it at times, and it's going to throw them in their favour. Obviously, Scott Twine shown glimpses of that, and Saeed Manesh is an option now. He's back fit, but Benson would be a magnificent capture. And as I say, I think the key thing for Hull is they've got Rossini at the helm, who's very good at spotting weaknesses in his team, and he's very good at alleviating those with the right personnel.
Yeah, Henry, who's a Hull fan, says we need a left back and a goalkeeper in January. I think goalkeeper is certainly a position they could do with strengthening, and left back as well. I don't see why not, but Liam Rossini has said he expects a busy month, so you can expect Hull to be signing multiple players in multiple positions over the course of January. But it's absolutely thrilling heading into this, just watching what Hull City do, because the ambition that they're showing is just fantastic. I mean, the idea of a front four with the likes of Scott Twine, Jaden Philogene, Manuel Benson, Liam Delap is, it's a dream for a championship nerd like ourselves, Justin. So that's why it's so exciting seeing what Hull do. They simply do not care about what boundaries they've got. So here we go. I'm keeping a close eye on what Hull do in January, because it's going to be very, very exciting. And what do you think about Coventry City, Justin? Here's my take. I think they're in an excellent position and are probably the club in the playoff race who need to strengthen the least. What do you think?
I think maybe some recency bias does play into that, because they've been so good of late, and obviously they're hitting their stride quite comfortably. But they did well last season in recruiting a couple of players on loan that sort of really got them over the line. But yeah, I do agree. I honestly don't think Coventry need anybody. Maybe need another midfielder who brings a bit of spark into creatively. You're seeing Ayari hasn't really hit the heights this season on loan from Brighton. They probably maybe need some depth added in that department, but they've got Casey Palmer, they've got Callum O'Hare, they're playing a 4-2-3-1, so that creative demand isn't as needed as much as it probably has been. Josh Eccles, Ben Sheaf in midfield, and Jamie Allen as well. They've got good depth. They've recruited well in the summer, and I think it's slowly clicking together, which we're not yet seeing the best out of all of their summer captures, which I think is a good position to be in, because it means their January window can be a little bit quieter than the rest of the teams around them. So yeah, I do agree. Don't think they need anybody, which is a great place to be.
Yeah. Louis, who's a Cough fan, says they need a centre mid, right back and a winger. I don't think they really do need anyone, to be quite honest. I think the only position I'm looking at in that Cough team and thinking they probably could do with someone is another centre mid to play alongside Ben Sheaf, because Josh Eccles has had a pretty good season, in fairness to him. But I would still look at that position and think that's one that could be strengthened. Apart from that, Coventry are in a fantastic position just because everyone's hitting form. Of course, Ellis Sims still yet to find the goal-scoring touch that we were expecting when he first came in, but they spent a fair bit of money on him, so they've got to give him a chance. They can't just, bring someone else in and cast him off onto the bench. So that squad is looking incredibly strong for the position that it's in, and that's why it's quite exciting, the position that Coventry are in, not just because of their recent form, but because the squad is looking pretty good. I imagine Coventry fans will be out there saying, we want to sign players in January, and we won't be happy with just the squad staying as it is. But I'm looking at it as a neutral and saying, that is a pretty, pretty strong squad as things stand. Maybe a bit of depth in places, but overall, the first team is looking very, very good. The final team that we'll touch on with regards to the playoffs, Justin, is Middlesbrough. They're currently 12th, 4 points off the top six, but they have been battered with injuries this season. And another club I'm very interested to see what they do in January and how much they do.
I don't think they'll do much, I think they'll play it safe. Because spending big is pointless in January. You can really, really shaft yourself with some average talent for expensive costs, essentially. Maybe one or two loan additions. I mean, just look at the impact of, is it Jacob or Aaron Ramsey last season? I always get them mixed up.
It was Aaron. You're making me think about it now.
one of the Ramsey lads that isn't at Burnley on loan from Aston Villa last season. No, it is the one at Burnley, isn't it?
No, it is the one. Yeah, it's Aaron. I'm pretty sure it's Aaron.
Absolute, mind screw there. And Cameron Archer is the other one that they brought in, and they made a huge impact. Huge impact in getting Borough into the playoffs. And maybe they can repeat that with one or two again, but it's a very difficult thing to do. But I think they'll buy their time. I think Carrick will be understanding of the, not financial position they're in, because we're in a good financial position, but they've got a good squad. So what's the point in going out and signing permanent signings? It's only going to be loan signings that come in for Middlesbrough for me. And as I say, I don't think they're going to go hell-bent on adding three or four. I think it'll be one or two that adds a little bit of depth. But they are light in areas. But essentially, if they do get players back, then that alleviates, that stress is alleviated for them. So yeah, they're a weird one, Middlesbrough, because just have no idea what they're going to do, because they've got a good squad, just all injured.
Well, Carrick has already said any new players who they get in will have to fit in. He doesn't want a panic buy. He wants players who will be there beyond the end of the season. And that's completely understandable. If everyone in this Middlesbrough squad was fit, they would certainly be a lot closer to the top six and maybe even be in there quite comfortably. Liv, who's a Borough fan, says they need to strengthen up top and in defence because of injury. And that's it, isn't it? That's what we've got to keep in account. The injuries have really battered Middlesbrough, and it's about whether they want to have a short-term fix or not. And I don't think Carrick is particularly looking for any short-term fixes, because it depends how lucky they are with injuries in the second half of the season. But that's been one of the reasons why they have struggled at times in the first half of the season. But look, they're still 4 points off the top six. January was huge for them last season, as you say, Justin, with Cameron Archer coming in, Aaron Ramsey coming in as well. So maybe a couple of loans will really help in places, but I struggle to see Middlesbrough going out there, breaking the bank on players and, you know, just leaving themselves in financial turmoil, because I just don't think that's going to happen. But it will be quite interesting to see, as I say, how much they do and what they do in January, just because they could strengthen in quite a few areas. But a lot of it depends on fitness with the players who are out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll have a look at the teams fighting over automatic promotion and those teams fighting to stay up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast. So we're going through Championship sides and talking about where they need to strengthen in January. And we'll talk about the automatic promotion race. We'll leave Leicester out of this particular conversation, Justin, because they don't need to strengthen, do they? Let's be quite honest. But out of the teams fighting over second place, who needs to strengthen the most in your eyes? Ipswich, Southampton or Leeds?
I will mention Leeds because I don't think it... Leeds aren't my pick, by the way, but I will mention Leeds because I like we were discussing in our previous episode, I think they're desperate for a playmaker. I really do. I think they're desperate for a playmaker to unlock those really stubborn sides who do like to play a deep block and don't allow spacing behind their back line for pacey attackers. So I think if they can bring in a playmaker, I think that will really, really help them flirt more often with the top two, because they've dropped away quite significantly. But the team that I'm going to pick is it, which I think is a very obvious one. George Hurst being injured is a massive, massive issue for Ipswich, because he's a player that knits their attack together. He likes to play with his back to goal, and I don't think Freddie Ledapo really brings that as with as much quality and physicality as George Hurst does. And as well as that, I think it's quite important. I feel they lack an accomplished, experienced centre-back. I'm going to use Nottingham Forest as an example again. They brought in Steve Cook when they went up under Steve Cooper. And that really, really helped them, because Joe Worrell and Scott McKenna either side, it was a good back line anyway. But Steve Cook came in and added a lot of know-how, added a lot of experience. And it does help. And I think that they make a lot of mistakes at the back, some naive decision-making sometimes, some petty fouls that get given away, and I really do think that will help Ipswich get themselves into top two. And I do think McKenna might have one eye on that, to be honest with you.
Well, Ipswich have done remarkably well to get to this point, but they desperately need to bring players in, and that has been made all the more clear with the injury to George Hurst up front, who's now going to be out until around April time. So for my money, they simply can't expect to be in contention for automatic promotion as the season goes on if they have Caden Jackson and Freddie Ladapo as their only options up front. I don't think that'll be the case, because I'll be very, very, very surprised if Ipswich don't strengthen up front in January. Jay Stansfield, currently on loan at Birmingham, has been mentioned, which I think would be a good move. I think they could do with at least another forward, though. Stansfield, I think, well, he's mainly played as almost a number 10 for Birmingham this season, hasn't he? That's where he's played his best football. So someone who would be, you know, your kind of George Hurst type number 9 would be the ideal addition for me. But yeah, as I say, they could do with at least two strikers, really. Jeremy Sarmiento has joined on loan from Brighton. He was a winger at West Brom, which is a decent addition. A couple of defenders for depth at the back would be very handy as well. Just now, I do agree with you to some extent. That's, I think, a couple of defenders would go a long way. But at least two forwards has to be the absolute priority for Ipswich if they're going to get automatically promoted. Richard, who's an Ipswich fan, says, we need a new striker. Reese says, striker. So I think it's pretty obvious where Ipswich need to strengthen this month. But let's go back to what you were saying about Leeds. Justin Zovic, who's a Leeds fan, says, we need a left-back. Damien says, left-back and number 10. You've been quite strong on your calls for Leeds to get a number 10 in January, haven't you? And as you were just explaining a second ago, it's to unlock teams who are sitting quite deep against Leeds, which is what they've struggled with quite a lot recently, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is a Daniel Farke thing as well. As we were debating quite extensively in our previous episode, it's a really good debate. Do encourage people to listen to it. Daniel Farke he has to find a way to unlock those teams, and he has to be doing better because he's got a lot of quality at his disposal already. But the profile of player that he's got, they're all quite similar. They're all quite quick. They all like to exploit space in behind defences. And unfortunately, Leeds aren't going to get a lot of that because the blueprint to get a result against Leeds has been set by other teams. So having that number 10, and I've made the reference to Emi Buendia, who was under Farke at Norwich, not a quick pacey player, but very good and very in tune with his forward line, very good at finding space and knitting those balls in behind. And when you've got someone like Jorginho Ruta and Joel Pirro, who are very good in and around the box and good at making those dynamic runs in and around the box as well, having a player who can find them is going to go a long way, because I don't think they have a player like that. It's quite crazy to think about that. I don't think they have a player who can do that consistently and regularly. And of course, it's a very difficult skill set to attract in January, but Leeds have got the financial power to do it. And they've also got the pool because they're a big club.
Well, I don't think they need a number 10. I think when you look at, well, Justin, let's be honest, they've been flying away with a, you know, they've been by far and away the third best team in the division so far. And when you put the squad side by side, they've got a much better squad than Ipswich, haven't they? The reason why they've been dropping silly points here and there is, for me, down to Daniel Farke. He's the one who's got to take the blame for that. So that's why I don't think they need a number 10 in January. I think one would be great if they could get one in. I don't know if they're going to find someone of the same quality as, you know, the rest of the Leeds squad who fits in there seamlessly, but we'll have to wait and see. But I don't think that's a position they desperately, desperately need. I think a left-back is a position they could do with certainly strengthening. Sam Byram's been filling in there for pretty much all season. Jed Spencer's been appearing there fairly recently as well. It's worth remembering they paid £15 million for Junior Firpo a couple of years ago, and he's just not getting a look in. But that's probably because he's not very good. But a left-back would certainly go a long way, I think, with giving this Leeds team a lot more natural width as well. So I think left-back's more of a priority than number 10 is for me personally. I would certainly say that. Quick word on Southampton. Saints Statistics says we need a right winger that isn't Rishi Sunak. And Richard says we need a striker. Is there a position in particular where you look at with Southampton and think that's got to be the absolute priority for them?
Well, I've said number 9 is a big thing, but they've got good players. They've got obviously Sekimura, they've got Shea Adams, Adam Armstrong, who's been incredible this season. They've got good players in the final third. I think a right wing is a good shout because Nathan Teller would have been filling that void, and he would almost certainly would be on double figures by now if he was still at Southampton. Obviously, can speak hypothetically, but I'd be very confident in saying he'd have scored a lot of goals in his Southampton team under Russell Martin, like he did on the opening day of the season, for example, against Sheffield Wednesday. They probably didn't replace him, didn't have time to replace him, or didn't invest to replace him. And I think bringing one of bringing a player in who can add a little bit more into the final third would go a long way. But I think Southampton are quite comfortable because they've got a good squad, good deep squad.
Yeah, I struggled to pick out a massive weakness in this Southampton team. And I think if they did go the whole of January without signing anyone, they would still be in a very, very good position to get automatically promoted. If you're going to push me for a position, I probably would say right wing. I think, a lot of the options they have on the right wing, none of them have really pulled up the trees that people were possibly expecting at the start of the season. So that's the one position I would say, as I say, plenty of options there, but they haven't nailed down. No one's particularly nailed down that position, have they? So that's the one that would stand out for me. I think it would be a bit more interesting to see who goes out the door in January for Southampton, yeah, because I think a few players will be possibly on their way out. Let's go to the other end of the table, Justin. We've seemingly got four teams in the battle to stay up: Rotherham, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield. Now, we both agree they all badly need to strengthen, some more than others. Who needs to do it the most? I'll add in the caveat here that I think we both agree Rotherham need to strengthen the most, but would we both say the amount of strengthening they need to do to keep them up is a bit unrealistic for a January transfer window?
Yeah, you would. I mean, they had a good January last season, didn't they? They signed really well. Sean Morrison, Leo Hjelder came in, Jordan Hugo. They signed really, really well. But they've got to have another January transfer window like that. It's a difficult thing to do, to do twice in a row. And it does highlight some issues you've got in your recruitment team if you've got to do it two windows in a row. One point I will mention is I think Birmingham have made the first move to get themselves out of that category of the bottom four by sacking Wayne Rooney. So they've made
the best January they could possibly have.
Exactly. Well, it is. It absolutely is. So I think Birmingham have done the best business so far in the entire league. But the team that I would push on is Huddersfield. They need, absolutely need, desperately need bodies. Let alone good players. They just need bodies in the door, because you go back to the summer window, signed a backup keeper, signed Tom Edwards, a bit meh. They signed Ben Wiles, who hasn't really hit the form that we know he can hit. I mean, he got linked with Burnley last summer, for example. They need to go in and add at least four or five players. Difficult thing to do in January. I've seen Alex Matos, a young Chelsea player, linked. I think that's a good potential incoming for them, because Chelsea have got the best academy in the entire league, in the entire country, and he's apparently one of the best in the Chelsea's academy. So that's a good prospect, and they've got a good history of bringing in loan players from Chelsea as well, with Casey Palmer and Izzy Brown, for example. So for me, Huddersfield they've got the worst squad in the league. It would be a miracle if Darren Moore can keep getting, you know, the quality out of it that he is so far, which isn't a lot. So without more additions, I can see them going down.
Yeah, Huddersfield are 100% the team who needs to strengthen the most out of the bottom three outside, the bottom four outside of Rotherham, if that makes sense. They had a really poor summer transfer window, didn't they? Which I believe is the ultimate reason why Neil Warnock left. And it's an achievement in itself that they have been outside the bottom three for most of the season after that terrible window. And with the squad they've got so far, they need at least five or six players, mainly going forwards and in midfield. Up front, they're relying so much on Delano Bergzorg, who's a very hit and miss forward, not just in terms of performances, but also with fitness. And then Jordan Rhodes has been linked with a return. He's been banging them in for fun at Blackpool, so that would be interesting. A striker is the main thing they need to get in, though. They could really do with a bit of everything in January, really, though, to improve quality and depth. Chance creation, they need to improve. As you say, Justin, Alex Matos, seemingly on his way on loan from Chelsea. He's been on the bench for a lot of them in the Premier League, so seems very highly rated there. So that's quite exciting. But if the owners don't back Darren Moore this January, their decision to invest in the club is going to look like a bad one, considering they only took over in June. And if the club get relegated in their first full season of this new ownership, then that's going to be fairly disastrous, isn't it? Where do QPR have to strengthen, Justin?
I feel like they need a striker. Lyndon Dykes doesn't quite do it for me. Neither does Sinclair Armstrong consistently. I think he's a good player with a lot of energy, but he's still quite raw, isn't he? He's still quite young. I think it's worth pointing out that they probably need a centre-half. The amount of goals they concede from set pieces is horrific, which is quite a surprise because they've got some good headed and kick-it defenders, but they're not heading and kicking it often enough to be really basic with my analysis of QPR. So I do feel that they need a striker, they need a centre-half. They're the two main players or main profile players they need to bring in because they've got Elias Chair, Chris Willett, they're good players. Sam Fields, very good player when he's in form. They do have good bones. It's just not enough meat on them.
Yeah. QPR have got to improve going forwards. Kurt says they need to strengthen everywhere. Robin says QPR need to employ someone who can release the players from the comatose state they've been in since November 2022. but it's going forwards where the big issues have been recently. I mean, Marty Sifuentes has done a fantastic job in tightening it up at the back with QPR, but they've lacked so much going forwards recently. They've been really toothless. Lyndon Dykes just... It's been a long time since we've ever seen Lyndon Dykes show any sort of form.
Have we ever seen him show any sort of form?
It is a very fair point.
He's a player that confuses me so much because he scores goals, but every now and then, no idea what he does outside of it.
Yeah, every now and then he falls apart. And I think supply line as well is the other thing because, of course, Elias Chair, Chris Willock, fantastic players on their day, but, you know, they're... days are very hit and miss in this QPR team. A lot of it depends on how much form this QPR team has. And Paul Smith hasn't really pulled up any trees since joining in the summer either. So a decent winger and a good striker would be the position they've got to strengthen for me in January. The final team we'll touch on, Justin, is Sheffield Wednesday with their big upturn in form. It's a bit more difficult to identify particular areas where they need to strengthen because it's all going very well, isn't it? I think the obvious answer, though, is attack. Bailey Cadamartri has started a lot of games recently and it's a lot to ask for an 18-year-old to keep doing that for the final 20 games. So I would say a striker, but I think the supply line could do with improving too. So another winger, perhaps. I think they're quite solid defensively all of a sudden, particularly recently. However, I don't think it'd be a bad thing to strengthen there either.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one Wednesday, mainly because they have been doing so well. So it's quite hard to pick out weaknesses because they've been in a great run of form under Danny Rule. But you are right. I think adding depth and maybe some youth and legs into that team, it depends how Danny Rule wants to go about it. Does he want to bring in a couple of his own players and see what happens, or does he want to keep the group as similar and compact as it is now because they've been on a high, been riding a high? And we know from last season that when they're a together group, so when they get going, they are a very good group to have. So yeah, it just depends where Danny Rule wants to go. I think adding a little bit more energy in midfield would go a long way, whether that be adding a bit more pace in attack or good box to box midfielder in centrally. George Byers, Will Volks, they're players out there now, but are they of a consistent championship quality remains to be seen. So yeah, I think Danny Rule's in a nice healthy position because they have got a better squad than maybe we gave him credit for, and he's seeing that now with the form that they've got. But everyone could do with new players.
Yeah, well, John Buckley, who's obviously a midfield option they signed in the summer, he's gone back to Blackburn. He's been recalled from his loan. Jeff Hendrick, another player they signed in January in the summer in midfield, has basically disappeared off the face of the earth. So they maybe could do with a couple of midfielders just to give themselves a bit more depth there, I suppose. Justin? Now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
A little kiss is all we need. Your little best is fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Lowe. This is the game where we have to rank four things from our highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. There's three questions, and this week I'll be providing the questions for Justin. Are you ready, Peachy?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. So the first question, Justin, is this. As we all know, Poor Wayne Rooney was finally given the boot from Birmingham this week. It's been a pretty torrid 2023 for England's golden generation in management. So I want you to rank for me these four managerial reigns by win percentage. They are, you got to pay attention here, Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa, Frank Lampard at Everton, Wayne Rooney at Derby County, Phil Neville at Inter Miami. Not sure if Phil Neville is part of the golden generation, but he is for this particular question.
It's a stretch, isn't it?
It is a bit.
I mean, he was in some of their squads, so we can class him. We can certainly class him. Just for a dude, have you seen the video of Kai Rooney ranting about the Birmingham City squad?
Of course I have. Just yes. It's superb stuff.
It's a golden clip. A golden clip that did make me laugh. But back to the quiz. I'm going to go with... am I ranking highest win percentage to the lowest?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Steven Gerrard at Villa, then Wayne Rooney at Derby, then Frank Lampard at Everton, then Phil Neville at Inter Miami, because they were shocking.
Not as shocking as you think, really? Justin. In fact, you've pretty much nailed it, apart from you've massively underestimated the power of Fizzer. Phil Neville at Inter Miami was top, with a win percentage of 39%, Steven Gerrard at Villa, 33%, Rooney at Derby, 28%, Frank Lampard at Everton, 27%.
Wow. I genuinely thought they were absolutely hopeless under Phil Neville, and he just argued with the media all the time.
Yeah. Good stuff, though. Good content, and that's the main thing that we got from that. Of course, the African Cup of Nations gets underway soon, Justin. Plenty of championship players will be making the trip for the competition, but can you rank these four championship clubs on who will be losing the most players to the tournament this month? Those clubs are Leeds United, Leicester City, Southampton, West Bromwich Albion.
That's a tricky one. Leicester have been in the forefront of my mind for a while, so I'm going to go with Leicester top, then I'll go with Southampton, then Leeds, then... who's the other team?
West Brom.
Then West Brom.
Sticking with that?
Yeah.
Again, you've pretty much got it right, but you got one wrong, one in the wrong position, and that was West Brom. Leicester were the top team. You're right with that. They've got three going, Patson Daka, Kelechi Iheanacho, and Wilfred Ndidi. West Brom were seconds. They've got two players going, Grady Diangana and Semi Ajayi. Southampton have only got one player going. Joe Aribo is the one who's going. Kamaldeen Sulemana was on the shortlist for Ghana, but was missed out through injury. And Leeds don't have any African players, so it was always going to be a struggle to send any players to the tournament.
Yeah, I just assumed maybe one or two might go because they've recruited extensively from other countries over the last couple of years. So I thought maybe one might have crossed their path, but yeah, fair enough.
Rumour has it they tried to send Patrick Bamford, but they were told no. Finally, sticking with the theme of Africa, Justin, these are the four African countries with the biggest populations. Can you rank them on who has the biggest population? These figures are from each country's national census. Those countries are DR Congo, Egypt, Ethiopia, Nigeria.
See, what I need right now is that guy who's running the entire length of Africa just to give me a little bit of insight. Because he's been in the continent of Africa for a long time now, so surely he would know. Nigeria is quite a big country. Actually, I'll rephrase this. All of the countries in Africa are quite big countries. A lot of land in Africa. So I'm going to go with Nigeria, then Egypt. Ooh, there's a lot of sand in Egypt. I'm going to go with... The thing is, you're only going to live close to the River Nile. You're only going to live close to the River Nile. And the DR Congo, a lot of it is jungle as well. So not many places where you can settle in those two countries. So I'm going to go with Nigeria, Ethiopia, then Egypt, then the DR Congo.
He's bloody nailed it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how it got to that point with that logic, but he has absolutely nailed it. Nigeria, top 216 million, by far the biggest in Africa. The sixth most populated country in the world, actually. Ethiopia, second, 107 million. Egypt, 104 million. DR Congo, 95 million. I can't believe you got that right just now. I gave you no chance before that question, and even more so as you're explaining it.
Maybe I should class myself as a geographical and socioeconomic expert as opposed to a football championship expert.
I'm not sure about that. But there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's been Scott Hire, Ryan Lowe, and this has been the Second Tier Podcast. We'll next be back on Sunday. Of course, it's the FA Cup this weekend, so no championship action for us to mull over. So instead, we've got a special Second Tier Meets episode. And it's a big one, ladies and gentlemen. It's with a manager who has managed in the Championship this season, and you know what, I'd go as far to say is one of the most recognisable managers at this level. It's a brilliant guest, and we're very excited for you to hear it. Justin, why are you pulling that face?
Is it Wayne Rooney?
No, it's not Wayne Rooney. I'm not sure he would come on, considering some of the stick we've given him recently. But there you go. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. We'll be back again on Sunday. I've been Ryan Jokes.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.